Coming up, I interview Brandon and Molly Weber. These are the power couple that have built out a co-working space that is really second to none in our region, and it's recognized nationally as a community building opportunity, right? So in the Urban Hive, in IO Labs, we have this very unique set of companies coming together. Brandon and Molly will share the stories about how they do that, also as a power couple, how they divide up their responsibilities, how they build this thriving community, this set of communities, without killing themselves. So I think along the way, you're going to think about your business and how you're building your community and your culture. So I think we all wrestle with some of those opportunities and some of those issues. So stick around. I think you'll like what you hear. And I am here with the power couple, Brandon and Molly Weber of Urban Hive and IO Labs. How are you guys doing today?
Doing great.
You're doing good? Okay, Molly, let's start with you because the big man here has been on the show before, but let's get to know Molly Weber. Who's Molly Weber?
Oh, gosh. Really, mostly behind the scenes of all of the Urban Hive and IO Labs, and that could be from, you know, the design aspect to kind of overseeing our team and the experience of, you know, when you're coming through the doors, what you're seeing, what you're experiencing. That's a big part of what
I
do.
Well, that sounds like the most important stuff. What does Brandon do? How do you keep him busy?
Brandon's big picture. So he's, you know, strategic development and really working all the relationships, both in the space and really out of the space.
So how's he working out? Is he doing okay?
You know, somebody once described it to us as that I'm the one building the train.
Yes.
But if it depended on me to make it go on time, she's the one that actually makes sure that it actually.
Well, there's no question. I mean, what an advantage to have a partnership whereby you have all the strengths needed to make that train move down that track. Well, let's talk about your business. Give us, Brandon, if you don't mind, an overview of the organization.
Sure. I think probably the easiest way to understand it is that we provide companies, small companies, small businesses, and startups a lot of the tools that you need, infrastructure-wise, to expand from that 1 to 5 person team to that 15 to 20 person team. And primarily that's through the space that we have. So
right.
we have two co-working spaces. The Urban Hive has been around for a while. We just recently relocated it to a newer, larger place. And that's, we've been blessed enough to get multiple, you know, we're consistently ranked among the top co-working spaces in the world, which is kind of fun and cool here in Sacramento. And the new space that we have is just really spectacular. And then we have our downtown location that focuses a little bit more on companies that are really have traction or really scaling and have or seeking funding.
Well, why are you ranked so high? What's different about Urban Hive and IO Labs?
I think one of the things, and this is where Molly has really put her part into it, is that, you know, we can build these amazing, cool looking spaces, but ultimately they're places where people want to be. And when they want to be there, they're more productive. They're getting shit done, right?
Yeah.
And there's something for you to edit out later.
Jeff, thank you.
and the reality is, so when you put right now, even just at our cannery location right now in Midtown Sacramento, for example, we have almost 450 entrepreneurs. So there's a certain amount of learning that is happening. That is actually a massive amount of learning that has happened. And you know a number of our members. We have people who have sold their company for $50 million, and we have members that are literally just kind of, you know, just getting started out, right? Yeah. And so you have all these people that are at different stages of business, and you throw them into a place together, and just really amazing dynamic things happen. So I think there's the space component, but then there's the community component. And I think that's something that we do a little differently than others that are out there, is that we've got the space part, but we really focus a lot on the community. And then as far as the space goes, I really think, you know, and I guess, again, it's sort of the same thing. You want to create a space where people want to be.
Yeah.
You know, Google kind of gets this with a lot of, you know, all the stuff. I mean, we're no Google, don't get me wrong, but it sort of gives small companies and small teams the ability to access that sort of thing. So,
right.
You know, we do have the yoga. We do have Molly, you go off to those sort of things. I mean, we just have, it's a cool, fun place to be.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've often hear things like solitude is the death of the entrepreneur, right? Nobody builds a great company alone. Molly, how do you build this community? It sounds like some cool stuff, But how do you get these people to come together and want to help one another?
Yeah, I think it's pivotal just at the beginning when you're touring them, you're explaining to them like what we're about. You set the bar as far as like what the expectation is. It's not just a place to work. It's also a place to connect. And so that connection from the beginning is paramount in making the community meld together so that people are really utilizing each other's strengths, sharing knowledge with one another, asking questions. Have you tried this platform? Have you tried this app? And then giving back. So obviously we're first and foremost a workplace. Secondary, and almost more importantly, we're a community. So that means making sure that you're closing your laptop and actually introducing yourself to someone across from you. What do you do? What are you looking for? Oh, you just moved here? Oh, hey, let's talk about that. Let's go grab a beer together, whether it's in our kitchen or whether it's, you know, outside of our space. We really encourage people to kind of engage and spend time together.
Well, yeah, the vibe is so important with creating that culture or that, that way of thinking. What, and I know you guys throw great parties. I've been over there. Whose vision is it to how you throw your parties and creating this this environment, I guess, from a physical standpoint? Is that your thing, or did Brandon come up with that stuff?
I honestly think it's a shared thing. So, you know, we both of us really have a heart to connect our community, and that's through, you know, really creating a space where people have, it's really their second home, right? So it's your home and then your workplace. And if your workplace can feel like your home, then great. And if we can add all those amenities in and extra little things that are fun and random, then how long are you going
to
be there?
So, Brandon, what's the key to throwing a great party, right? Because you want to throw, like, I was over at the Innovation Awards party the other day, and, I mean, it was like, it was the who's who of Sacramento, and I got invited somehow. Anyway, I was there too, and it was fun. Now, are there kind of like key ingredients that go in besides the right people? How do you throw these great parties?
Okay, 100%. And that is Molly's making, and obviously our staff as well. I mean, there were a lot of people behind the scenes making sure that it was a smoothly run event.
Yeah.
From people who were figuring out the catering and people who were everything. Yeah, it was really a great event. But I think a big part is something we've been very lucky about is we've always had the right people as members and a lot of the right people that are our partners in the community as well. So I hate to say it's easy, but it kind of is, you know, because I feel like we're not starting from scratch. You know, it's like, oh, you know, Mark should be here. And oh, you know, yeah, I got better security.
Okay, so you have this. I think if you do what comes easy to you, sometimes you're more effective at it, right? You're naturally gifted at what you're doing. But Molly, talk to us about the inspiration for this. How did this thing get launched? What prompted this this decision to launch Urban Hive?
Wow. I'd probably almost defer to Brandon because he really kind of launched this first and let me know that we were doing this.
Oh, I see how it is. Okay.
I quickly came on board as far as like being supportive of it. I didn't quite understand big picture, but then when I came on full time and really seeing what he was doing behind the scenes and in front and being the face, then I understood really what it took and the hours and the demands and how important those relationships were and building the community and working outside to show everyone, you know, whether it was our mayor or council members, like what's going on in our city and what people are doing internally that are greatly affecting the city and kind of spilling out.
So yeah, sometimes as entrepreneurs, I think we put out all these dots out there, and it sounds like you're figuring out a way to connect those dots for Brandon. Yep. But Brandon, what prompted this? Did something happen in your life?
So well, it was something that both of us were a part of. We were both part of a development company in Sacramento, and there was a period of time where we were expanding. We had almost 9 square blocks that we were developing in Midtown and downtown Sacramento until little economic downturn happened.
There
it was very
was
small,
about
very
10
small
years ago.
A lot of people weren't paying attention. Yeah. You may not have read about it, but
the so, Great Recession is
So it was, it was kind of like, okay, so we had a little bit of a readjustment, And part of that was, you know, frankly, we had this this building that had been our headquarters, and just trying to figure out what to do with that space. And as there were a lot of other companies that were downsizing, it's sort of interesting now. Now we're working with companies that are more scaling, but what we started with was a lot of companies that were downsizing.
Interesting.
So we had this amazing, cool space, and Molly was very involved in creating that space and designing the space. It just a very cool, awesome building to start with. It was small. I don't know if you've been to our original space, but
yes.
Yeah, it's a small,
I was
cozy,
asked to
cool,
be on a panel there one
concrete
time
and brick,
thing.
Just really cool. Just had a very cool vibe, if you will. And you know, we put a blog post out sort of saying, hey, is there anybody interested in doing this? And I had 47 replies on that post. And we opened up a week and a half later.
Wow.
So
don't let any grass grow under those feet.
Yeah, but it wasn't like, you know, we didn't know what it was. I had never even heard the word co-working. It was just like, hey, let's share the space and let's work together. It's a cool office space. Why don't we all work together? And then we were just, you know, we were just, again, very lucky to know great people. So we sort of seeded this community of just really amazing people that I mean, you would know them all. They're all doing amazing, cool stuff in Sacramento now.
Yeah.
And that original kind of class of whatnot of, like, you know, 30, 40 people that shared the space. And, you know, once you have amazing people, that sort of begets more amazing people and the kind of people that are around them. And so it just sort of, it was, you know, I'd say the first 6 or 7 years, it wasn't meant to grow. Like, we just grew till we maxed out the space and really didn't think much about it. It was a side project, even though I found myself getting more and more passionate about it. You know, like, all of a sudden I was thinking about that more than the stuff that was making me money.
Yeah.
and so there was a point where, you know, I had a really great conversation, and I'm sure you run into this thing too with somebody, that person after person would say, you need to do this. This is amazing. And I'm like, yeah, it's just a smaller building. You know, there's only so much money that can be made or whatnot. And I've got this other thing that pays the bills. And one person's, you know, used the example. It's probably a terrible example in some ways, but the example of, you know, Cortez coming over to the Americas. And, you know, first thing he did when they got off the ships was he burned the ships.
Right? I'm staying. And I'm committed.
I'm committed. And this person turned to me and said, Brandon, you need to burn your ships.
Well, you have done an incredible job. I think you've changed the entrepreneurial ecosystem of the Sacramento landscape. I mean, it's really unbelievable what you've done. But it couldn't have been easy, Molly. What are the big obstacles that you run into? What keeps you up at night these days?
Wow. Obstacles and keeping me up. Those things still do. Partially that's because, you know, we really take it seriously, and we want everyone to have the best experience there. And we consider anyone who walks through the doors and becomes a member or a guest, even if it's just for a night, really a part of our community. And so we want to provide the best experience, and we want to plug you into the right things that you need. So we think about all those things. We think about someone just joined. Who are we going to introduce them to? How are we going to help them fit in, make the connections? How are we going to make their experience successful, whether it's just for the night or for 7 years with us? Who knows? But all of those relationships are really important to us. So we think about, you know, the smallest of details to the bigger picture, and being able to step back and, you know, taking a weekend to do a road trip is really important to us to be able to unplug. But I say unplug, but we usually end up talking about work a lot, but in a more holistic big picture, which ends up giving us fuel when we return.
Yeah. Well, I have heard that you two, we have a mutual friend, Monique Brown, and I have heard that you two are the hardest working people that she has ever met. And so I'm like, wow, she's a pretty darn hard worker, as you know. So I'm thinking to myself, what does a day look like for the Webbers? Walk us through a day in the life.
Oh my God, does it follow a certain pattern?
Is it 20 hours a week? I mean, because I know you guys work
20
a lot.
Hours a week? I wish it was only 20 hours a
week. Whoa.
We're trying to figure out a way to make it only 20 hours a week.
Oh my gosh.
I meant to say day.
A gosh.
Day. Oh, yeah. Okay. No, yeah.
Yeah, it's probably more than that.
Yeah. So, how many hours a day do you put in?
I don't, you know, it's interesting. I don't know. Well, one, I am trying not to be like, I think I was in that mind frame where I would brag about this sort of stuff, and I realized it's actually a negative thing, right? I want to be bragging about how little I'm working. I'm not there yet.
Yeah.
But I would say, you know, our kids are very important to us. So we do try to have some sort of balance, but they're pretty long days. We're up with the kids at, you know, 6, 7 in the morning, and, Our youngest likes to get up very, very, very early.
Brandon doesn't like that.
We're going to push him into going to bed really late. And he still gets up at the same time. He's just crankier.
Yeah.
And then we do have plenty of nights where we have an event that goes till 10:30, and we're there till 11 or 12.
Up and doing it again.
Yeah, but because we have that kind of crazy schedule. There's also days that we preserve as like, hey, this is where we need to get this stuff done, and I haven't taken any meetings on this day. And then we do have lots of days where we kind of switch back and forth of trying to get home around 2 o'clock and hitting the, you know, getting the kids and being around for them, even if we are doing some work from home at that point. But it's just so that we're, you know.
Yeah, you do that stuff. But, I mean, there's got to be days that stress you out.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you're working the long hours, plus the stress, plus the family. I mean, how do you deal with that? I mean, Molly said you guys take a road trip now and then, but I mean, are there other ways that you can let out your stress or your frustrations? Can you, when you get like in one of those moods, maybe you, if your son gets cranky,
really
you get cranky too.
I'll take really long walks. Yeah. And sometimes I'll even do walks within our space.
Well, it's so gigantic. That lasts a while.
I actually, I'm a little self-conscious because people see me pacing all the time. It's funny. We had an intern that was with us from Indonesia, and he was blown away by all this. He's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm pacing. And I guess culturally, that's just a thing not all cultures do. Oh. And I was like, is this nothing you've seen? He's like, I've never seen it before.
Wow. It's more healthy than sitting behind
really
the desk.
Like an alien, you know, pacing around.
20 years.
No, but...
I've seen it for 20 years.
I think that's a big part of it. But I do think, you know, being able to try to balance the family and the work time is a good
way. How do you deal with your stress, Molly?
Oh, I think it's, you know, it's a combination of spending time with my kids. It could be yoga. It could be, you know, honestly making sure that I have time with girlfriends where I'm connecting and just kind of unwinding. I definitely have people that I feel like I have enough people in my life that have authentic connections where I can just know that I can share anything that's going on, and they are going to give me feedback that's positive and encouraging and sometimes constructive, which I appreciate. Mm-hmm. So that to me is a true friendship. So making time for all those things, time with my husband, time with my kids, time to exercise, time with my girlfriends.
Yeah.
She had way better answers. Did you catch that? I'm like, off time. What do you mean off time? And she's like,
she's polished. There's no doubt, Brandon. Let's have some fun with it. Okay, paint the picture. So thinking about our hometown, this place that we love, you know, we're family people. We love our hometown. We love our basketball team. Paint the picture for these entrepreneurs that we also love. How do you see Sacramento shaping up as we look out into the future, Brandon?
I think Sacramento. I mean, I think that the promise of Sacramento is amazing, and I think the promise of Sacramento is why we choose to be here. And I've been lucky enough to live all over the country. Both Malaya, I've lived in other countries, and really, I mean, I see this from the bottom of my heart. I think Sacramento is a really spectacular, dynamic place, and there's incredible promise. And I think right now we're starting to execute on that promise. I don't think we always have. I feel like, you know, in the 15, 20 years that I've been here now, you know, I've definitely seen, I mean, we moved away and then come back, but I've definitely seen times where we, you know, as a city can get in our own way. But I really feel like right now the entrepreneurship community is booming. The startup community is booming. We obviously have the advantage of, we do have San Francisco that's pretty close, and as they're expanding, that's not hurting us.
Yes.
But more and more, I'm seeing more and more homegrown businesses that are growing. And I think that is what we need in our economy, and I think that's what we really need for a city. And I think the really key element, is that the city is a better place to live. I mean, I think that the more and more we make it a better place to live, the more attractive it is not only to people to move here and have their businesses here, but it's also going to be more attractive for those of us to stay here and for our kids to stay here, or for the kids to go off to school and move back here. I think it's our mayor that actually uses that example. He says, I know that we'll be where we need to be when, you know, kids go off to college and they come back. And it's kind of an interesting perspective.
And Molly, you know, a final question, just as we think about the future for your family, the future for IO Labs and Urban Hive. I mean, what do you envision as our trajectory moving forward?
I think as we go into this, is if we're always looking on the eye, what I can do, then it's honestly a failing point. But what we can do, not just as a community, but reaching out and connecting with others, whether it be, you know, a new business that's coming to town, or honestly with you. So making sure that we all know what we're doing is paramount to like us growing a great city.
What we can do. Well said, Molly. Brandon, Molly, thank you very much for what you do in our community. Thanks for joining me today as well.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
If you like our entrepreneurial stories, if you like the messages that we bring that inspire, if you want a little more Mark Haney, not everybody does, but if you do, feel free to subscribe. Feel free to be part of our community, engage, comment, share. I want to get to know you better. Follow me on all our social media platforms at The Mark Haney. I look forward to knowing you better, and let's get to know each other better so we can help build these businesses that we love.